In a series in Matthew entitled Born to be King. And this is our last one, really, just for those who are visiting with us, but also for all of us, really, just a reminder, there it is, the things that we've looked at over these last 3 or 4 weeks together. We've seen how the king was promised through the prophecy of Isaiah, how he came in the line of the king. If there was anybody that was going to be king, born in Jerusalem or born in Israel at that time, it was going to be Jesus. We also saw together the fact that when he was born, he was worshipped as king, both by the shepherds, but more importantly, as we saw last time, by those magi. Just turn back, if you would, to Matthew 2 and verse 11. Look what it says there. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. The Gentiles worshipped King Jesus, Christ the King. They didn't worship the mother. They didn't worship the place. But they worshipped the Christ child. And then they gave him the gifts. These gifts, as we saw last week by these Gentiles, are very much seen, or last time, sorry, very much seen in this image of the prophecy of by one day, the nations will bring their gifts to the king and they will present them in an act of worship as the Lord Jesus Christ establishes his kingdom and his throne in Jerusalem. Are you looking forward to that day? We celebrate his first coming at this time of year. Not that it was the 25th of December, we all know that. The point is that we celebrate it. But we should be looking forward to his second coming, when he will return in all glory. And the scripture says this, that every eye will see him. Every knee will, every tongue will confess that to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. What a day. They will worship him. And just as we saw the Magi worship him one day, the nations, the Gentile nations, and Israel as well, seen within those despised shepherds, will worship him. This morning, on the eve of Christmas Day celebration, I just want us to notice one or two things as we come to this chapter. When I was preparing this week, I thought, oh, what an awful chapter to be looking at on Christmas Eve. But there's something that the Lord needs to speak to each and every one of us through this morning. This is the thing that we notice, simply this. The Christ child was recognized as king when he was born, but he was also hated. He was worshipped as king. But the sad truth is that there were many who hated him. Turn back to verse 13, if you would, of Matthew in chapter 2. You notice there as they begin to flee, we see in verse 13, it says, when they had gone, that was the angels, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. That's the first thing we see this morning, how Jesus was forced to flee Bethlehem. In this dream, this second dream that Joseph had, remember his first dream was where he saw the angel, where he was told to take Mary as his wife. This is the second dream now. And he's told to flee to Egypt, take the child and his mother and go. And in obedience, that's exactly what Joseph did. He flew to Egypt. Just to say, this move to Egypt was not easy. It was, however, a fulfillment of biblical prophecy in Hosea 11 and verse 1. It actually says that this was a fulfillment, that the God's son would be called out of Egypt. But Mary and Joseph needed to physically move. They needed to do something about their situation that they found themselves in. In other words, they couldn't hang around in Bethlehem, just hope and pray that everything will turn out okay, that the political situation will change, and maybe they could hide the child and it would be safe. No, they had to move. And it's not easy doing that. It's not easy coming up the motorway to see the family at Christmas with the little one, is it? It wasn't easy for Mary and Joseph to suddenly make this move from Bethlehem all the way down to Egypt, but it was essential for them. They were being forced out of their own land. They were being forced to take this journey. And in some ways, there are many parallels that I could use at this time of year to draw from it, if you want me to. I actually don't think we can use those parallels from a biblical perspective. I don't think it's just as simple as refugees fleeing their country for fear of persecution. Because this is something divine going on here. There is a biblical principle that is being demonstrated here. And it's simply this, that when we find ourselves in difficult situations, when we find ourselves in difficult times in our walk with the Lord, I'm not saying it's wrong to pray. We certainly should pray. I'm not saying that it's wrong that we shouldn't seek advice from others. But there comes a time when we just need to simply act. Just do. Just do what the Lord has told us to do. I think sometimes as Christians we can do an awful lot of procrastination, can't we? You know. When Gideon put a fleece out before God, I remind you that it was a fleece of impossibility. How often do we put out fleeces of possibilities, you know? Lord, if there's a red bus that comes along today, I know you don't want me to do what you've told me to do. Oh, there's a red bus. If there's a green car that might come my way, oh, there's a green car. Praise the Lord for that. I don't have to do it. Now, we must take steps that are necessary to try and accomplish what we believe the Lord's will is for our lives. And we need to act in obedience. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Ben made reference to the fact that Joseph was a righteous man in his behavior towards Mary. He wasn't just a righteous man. He was also a man of faith as well. He took God at his word and he acted in obedience. Can I just say, if there's one principle that you need to take away with this morning, is simply this. That to live in the place of God's blessing, a key to God's blessing is to live righteously, to walk in faith, and to act in obedience. Live righteous, live in a way that is God-honoring, that pleases Him. Walk by faith. The scripture clearly says that no man can please God except by faith. And walk in obedience to what, act in obedience to what God has told you to do. Praise God that this is something that this dear man Joseph did. Can you see why God chose such a man to be the father, the earthly father of his son? When Herod realized that the Magi had tricked him and gone another way home, you could imagine he was absolutely furious. In fact, I've put in my notes here that he was enraged. And so he put a sentence of death on all the male children who were in Bethlehem and its nearing vicinity. We reminded you the other week that Herod was a despot king. He was afraid of his shadow. He had his own family killed, his mother and his sons killed, just because he lived in fear of anybody usurping his position. So forgive me for saying this, as harsh as it may sound, but to kill these babies was nothing to this man, because he was wicked. You see there that the prophet Jeremiah spoke that a day would come where the voice would be heard in Ramah weeping with great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted. You know, the prophecy of Jeremiah, as so many prophecies, actually have dual application or even a trice application. Prophecy fulfilled in its day, in Christ's day, but also there's a future fulfillment as well. It was a desperate day in Bethlehem that day. Some commentators actually believe that it could have been as many as almost 10 to 15 to 20,000 babies killed Do you know, the truth be known, there was not that many people living in Bethlehem at that time. One innocent child is one too many. Is that not true? But there was more than likely just 10, maybe 15, maybe 20, not hundreds, not thousands, but nonetheless, because of those who were slaughtered by this despot king, there was great mourning in Bethlehem that day. One day, that man Herod will stand before a holy God, and he will be accountable for his actions. But I just remind each and every one of us, and so will we as well. We will all stand before a holy God. And it is only those who are found in Christ Jesus, those who have believed upon him for salvation, who will be saved. Matthew saw Jesus Christ on so many occasions in our series, as we've seen together, as a fulfillment of so many of the messianic prophecies. This simple man, Matthew, a man who was a tax collector, who was rejected by society because of his compromise, maybe with Rome. You know, he knew biblical scripture far better than some of the scribes and the teachers of his day. And he saw how Christ was a fulfillment of all of these biblical prophecies. Do you know, we need to be like that in the day in which we're living in. We need to be good Bereans. You know what that means, don't you? Look at Acts 17, what it says about those Bereans. It says that they were noble than the Thessalonians. And those who lived in Thessalonica, they were good people. But these Bereans, they were even more noble than them. And it says there that they searched the scriptures daily to know that which is truth. Folks, we need to be like Matthew. We need to be like those Bereans. We need to be those who are searching daily to know truth so that we can live it out in our day, in our generation. So we can be like Matthew, able to discern the days in which we're living in. As well as fleeing from Bethlehem, Jesus was also humiliated by returning to Nazareth. Verse 19, it says this: after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to flee, those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. Dream number three for Joseph. Herod was dead, and an angel appeared to Joseph and said, it's now safe to return back. Apparently, as we discover, as we read on, thank you, Helen, for reading for us this morning, Archelaus was actually reigning in Judea in the place of his father, Herod. And let me tell you, Archelaus was just as mad and as kooky as his father was. He, in fact, some suggested that he was actually insane. And so Joseph knew there was a threat even in going into the south back to Bethlehem or in the vicinity of Jerusalem. And so in the fourth dream, he was warned, and he returned to the north and he settled in Nazareth. So instead of, again, the king of the Jews being found in Jerusalem, he was found in the town of Nazareth. And Nazareth, which John says was a city of great reproach. Nazareth was actually a city that housed a Roman military cohort. And as a result, many of the Jews who lived in that land were often seen as compromisers, because they compromised with Rome. Many of them also intermarried with so many of the Gentiles were in that area as well. So Nazareth was always known as a despised place, a place of reproach. In fact, remember what Nathanael said when he saw Jesus? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus was called to be a Nazarene. He was called to live in a place of degradation. And so again, instead of the king living and reigning in Jerusalem, he lives in the most despised city in the then known world. Again, something else that was predicted in Scripture. This humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one who would firstly be despised and rejected. I take you and remind you of what Isaiah said, Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected by many, a man of suffering and familiar with grief, one like whom the people hid their faces, and they esteemed him not. He was not honored as king of the Jews, but he was despised as a resident of a Gentile city. And there for most of Christ's life, he lived there. We know very little about him, really, up until he begins his ministry at 30. Oh, there was one little glimpse of him in the temple. But other than that, we know very, very little about him. But what we do know is that he lived in that Gentile town, surrounded by people who were despised, and he himself would be found in that place. The prophets predicted that one who would come, born as a king, would be despised. He would be rejected by many. Do you know, when Jesus Christ came into this world the first time, born to be king, there were very few who recognized him. Oh, the shepherds did. They were told by the angels to go to worship. But the scribes, the teachers of the law in Jerusalem, they could predict where he should be born. They could tell others, but they themselves didn't go to worship the Christ child. There were very, very few who worshipped him. But these Gentiles did. And you know, an amazing thing that since that time, Gentiles have been worshipping Christ as the King for these last 2,000 years. And we've had that opportunity to do him this morning. We've had that opportunity to do it over this whole of this Christmas period, to worship the Christ child. One or two lessons to learn as we close this morning. I don't think I've ever preached so quickly in all my life. Kids, I said to Uncle Ben that I'd be quick this morning. Was that quick? Because this is the conclusion. You notice there was three responses, really. Three things that we need to learn this morning and take away. Three types of people, the priests and the scribes. They were those who knew the truth, who even taught the truth to others. But they didn't apply the truth of God's word to their own lives. Do you know, there are many in the church like that, sadly. They know so much head knowledge that he even can teach it to others. But they have no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They never ever make what they know to be true personal or practical. That's what the scribes were like. There's others as well. There's the Herod types as well. Some respond like him. They learn the truth. They even believe the truth. He believed the truth enough to fear that his position was threatened so that he had children killed. That's how much he believed that a king was born, someone who was threatening his position. He heard the truth. He believed the truth. But he despised the truth. Do you know, there are many like that as well, who hear, who know. But they stand against what they hear. They stand against the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's that third type, the Magi. They learn the truth, they go after the truth, and they worship. They worship Christ the King. Which category do you find yourself in this morning? one who maybe has heard over many, many years, one who is even scholarly enough to tell others, but there's no evidence of it in your life. There's no fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. Or those who hear, who know, but despite stand against it, do nothing to apply it to their lives. Do you know, Christ shows up in some of those who we least expect. These magi types, those who want to worship the truth. It shouldn't have been them. It should have been those in Jerusalem. It should have been those who were the closest to. But it was others that the Lord drew to himself. Christ shows up in people's lives who are written off. You see, folks, Christ Jesus is a friend of sinners just like you and me. Jesus Christ loves to take a sinner and just simply says this, watch what I can do with them. Watch how I can turn their life around. Watch how I can make something beautiful out of something that is so, so ugly. Our God is able. And I pray for each and every one of us this morning that we would be found like the Magi. Come with the right heart. Come with the right desire to know him, that we might bow down to worship him this Christmas time.